And so here we are again. Welcome to this call slash show. This is the Monday evening, I don't know what the topic is, call. And I welcome you all, those people online, through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. We have some people on the phone line. We came in early today. It's only 5:54 California time. And it's a pleasure to be here. And everybody went silent.
Oh, sorry about that. I was sitting here wondering what to say next, and then you said everybody went silent. Well, sorry.
It's the crazy people that are on the phone line.
We had somebody else join in. I welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi. This is Shirley from Seward, Alaska.
Hello, Shirley. Good evening and welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Oh, just fine. We have rain, warm and rainy.
Warm and rainy?
Yes.
What did you send us all your snow?
No snow.
No snow?
Just rain.
Oh, my goodness. We got your snow. You lost it.
All right. Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hello, Marilyn. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. And you?
That's fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Hi,
more
Marilyn.
People joined in. We welcome you all. If you want to, please say your name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Hey, John. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Somebody else joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hello. It's Wanda from Saskatchewan, Canada.
Hi, Wanda. Good evening and welcome to the call.
Is Hello, Ariel here?
Is who out here?
Is Ariel here yet?
It's negative. She's not.
Oh, okay.
Not yet, at least. I just opened the email. Tonight we have a wild card.
Well, hello to all who came in.
Did I miss other people? If I welcome you all, if I missed anyone, if you want to, feel free to speak up, say your name and location. All right, we're still 4 minutes away from the hour.
He must still be helping Ariel if he's on the road.
Yes. Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Steve from West Palm Beach.
Hey, Steve. Good evening and welcome to the call. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm fine.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Well, that's the place to be, you guys.
That's
we need to be down where Steve is.
Oh, well, we got his beaver, Steve.
88 degrees this afternoon.
Rub it in.
What was the temperature?
88.
Oh, my goodness.
We like it.
Yeah, we're jealous.
We have Steve envy.
Yeah. We'll be honest, we're jealous.
And as you talk, I'm looking out over the horizon of the ocean.
Oh, my goodness. Is it a beautiful blue sky?
Well, it's dark.
It's already dark?
Yeah.
But I'm glad to hear, Steve. I feel a bit warmer now.
Yeah, me too.
I feel better. I'm not as jealous since it's dark, okay?
At least we have no bugs in the winter, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Cleo from Connecticut. Good evening, hi.
Cleo, good evening. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. And somebody else joined in. We welcome you. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here. And the next caller, we welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Suzanne from Columbus.
Suzanne, hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine, hi. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Glad to be here.
All right.
You know what we should do is, instead of saying name and location, say name and temperature.
And people will start rooting for the thermometer.
About 16 near Cleveland here.
Your local water forecast.
What did you say, Don?
About 16 near up here near Cleveland.
16?
Yeah, 16.
Yeah, all right.
Yep.
Ken, I know you're not here.
Hello,
Wynn. We hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. They're loud and clear.
Yeah, we can hear you, Wynn.
Do you hear country music in the background?
No.
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 Well, that's good.
It's just you.
I hear country music.
Hello, Terry.
Hi, hi.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
I'm going to be here in a minute. He's calling in too.
He is here already, and so is Jim. How's it going, Jim?
Hello, 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 and how is everyone? Blessings to all.
Blessings to you, man.
Thank you, and a very happy gobble, gobble, gobble.
Oh, you too.
Because your landlord is at home, huh?
My landlady is home, and she and I miss the landlord.
All right. All right, we had a few more people join in here in the last minute. I want to give you a chance to say your name and location, please. Going once. We welcome you. I will turn off the entry and exit. All right. And we are live on BBS Radio. I welcome all those people that came in here in the last minute or so. Thank you for being here. Monday evening, we have our host, Winfrey, and our beautiful sister, Terry Brown, and a bunch of people on the phone line, on the conference call. So, Win, and we have a wild card tonight. What's on your mind, Win?
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris.
Hi,
good
Chris.
Evening.
Hey, guys.
We turned the entry and exit chimes off, but I know people are still coming in, so other people came in. If you want to, feel free to say your name and location.
Percy, North Carolina.
Percy, good evening to you. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, Han.
Percy, is that your first name or your last name? First. We used to know a bunch of Percys. It was their last name up in New York.
Especially Illinois.
Oh? Mm.
Yep.
They were a nice family.
All right. It's 6-2, Win. Are you still with us?
No.
All right.
I'm walking to my car. Okay. Hang on.
All right. So Win has his mobile studio with him.
Here we are, getting in the car. Oh, God.
So you had too much sidetracking from the country music in your background.
Well, I mean, you guys, I don't know if you figured all this out, but I went on a mission to...
Can I mute the lines, Win?
I'll leave them open for a little bit. Because it's a wild card, you know.
Yes, you don't sound so clear.
I don't sound clear.
No, you have like
an. You sound far away.
I think I see a line. I'm going to mute one line over here. There's an echo.
Okay.
That's better.
Is this better now?
Yes.
Yes.
So, you know, I wish I could do this for everybody. Because, you know, it's kind of like, it's kind of like if you're going to walk your walk, you're going to walk your walk. And Ariel, some of you don't know who Ariel is, but, you know, she's been a regular on our line for 5 years. And she kind of, like, ends up places in her travel trailer. She ended up in a really bad situation. Don't record this, okay? In a situation where she moved in with someone who had a property out in the middle of the desert on 5 miles of dirt roads.
Beware when we are being reported by BBS.
Yeah, well, this is not anything. Ariel doesn't mind me telling it, I'm sure. And, but, you know, it's like she met somebody at AA. She would go to AA meetings to try to ground her. And she met somebody at AA, and they said, you can park your RV or your trailer in my property. And so, she was paying them rent. But it went south. It wasn't going well. And they were doing drugs there. And it was getting into one of those things that I felt like her life could be in danger. So, so I went to Kingman, and I said, how am I going to get her out of this? And so it's kind of like I've been here for about 6 days, and are you...
Hold on, let me move that line.
Are you? Okay. Is that Terry?
No.
Was that Terry?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, good.
No.
It sounded like the way Terry rattles paper. But in any case... You know, it seemed totally hopeless. But I'll tell you what's interesting. You know, she can be an extreme loner. And
that's Ariel.
I started giving her support. And then her son came to the rescue and said, I'll send some money. You know, and so her son started helping. And, you know, we found this little RV site in a little artist community, and for $175 a month, which is really cheap, and she could afford that, or she'll figure out how to afford it, but at least it's like, you know, not $300 or $400 or $500 a month. And it was like the situation she was in was like a nightmare, because they built a fence around her trailer like they were going to keep a prisoner there, you know? And it's like everyone was hostile to everybody, and I had to walk into the middle of all the hostility and kind of clear it up. They took the fence down. Finally, she's in this new place. And I was talking about it on Sunday, and it's like, awesome. I'm ready to move there. It's like this little town of 300 people where everyone smiles at each other. Everyone knows each other. They're taking care of each other. It's like it's an old ghost town that's turned into a semi-artist town. And it's like the guys at the RV park were like taking care of her, and, you know, everybody's looking over her shoulder. And I've just been trying to, I wanted to be gone today, and every day I end up spending another day. So I'm leaving, I hope, tonight. And I'm taking her shopping so she has some stuff to eat and whatever. And she's kind of like going through a healing process. Ariel, you're not on the line, are you? No. Okay. She could say something. But,
there.
So we're at Flying J.
truck stop, and there's no phone reception in this little town. Can't call in, can't call out, at least for cell phone reception, as far as I can tell. So that's why I am somewhat discombobulated tonight. So, hi, what's today's date? Today is November what?
17.
November
17.
Number 17. And you know what? I wish I could. I remember somebody, you know the saying that says, help until it hurts. You ever hear that saying?
Give until it hurts.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
if
I was going to rewrite that saying, it's like, help until it helps.
That's better.
But, you know, it's like I had to be able to afford to take a week off, drive here, stay in motels. But I felt like it was kind of life and death. And I wish I could do that for more people. Makes me think I should get on the road and start doing some more. You know, that's when interesting synchronicities happen. And so we're in the middle of maybe some good synchronicities, because when you're doing something like that, it attracts really good people towards you. It just somehow, the energy of it makes a shift. And it's like, a lot of times, me included, we're afraid, how far do you go into it with someone before you just, to me, I have to feel the energy that if I really, really do something, that the person is going to pick it up and they're not going to depend on me for the rest of their life. Everyone understands that issue, because, you know, we're taught to be charitable and nice and helpful. And oftentimes when we do that with people we know, they keep coming back. They don't really run with it. And I have a very strong feeling Ariel is going to run with it, and it's going to help her. She's going to not be faced with that issue. She's praying so hard. She's, you know, calling in the light and Jesus. And, you know, she's been coming into our calls for 5 years. And it's like, you know, when somebody really starts to clear their shadow side, and, you know, just because somebody was famous or they did something extraordinary, it doesn't mean they don't have a shadow side. I have a shadow side. Terry has a shadow side. You don't really clear it. Your shadow side doesn't just say, oh, now I'm perfect. My experience is the shadow side kind of just doesn't control you anymore. You just, it doesn't make your decisions for you. And when you're in a lower space, your shadow side is controlling you. And it's a big step for anyone to first acknowledge their shadow side, acknowledge it, and second, to not let it control you, and to make decisions above it. And when somebody's at that critical place where they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they're ready for a... really ready for a shift. They just don't want to go back to their old self. They don't want to go back to their old patterns. That's the really best time to give somebody help, to give them a push, because the push will kind of anchor the new potential. You have to be sensitive to that, because otherwise everybody wants somebody to take care of them, to give them money, to, you know, drive them around and do this. And, you know, usually... anyone have those kinds of experiences? Anyone get in trouble trying to help somebody and it turns sour?
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody on the line listening to me?
Yes, 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 it has before.
Yes. That sounds like John. So
it is.
Okay. I we've been having some extraordinary calls, and I just wanted to ask you guys. I thought it was really good on Sunday. I thought there were things that happened energetically on last Sunday's call, yesterday's call, that were extraordinary. And, you know, sometimes I am, like, thinking, keep in mind that when we do these calls, when we do them, we're recording now, are we, Heinz? Heinz?
We're not recording yet.
Okay, let's start the recording. What's today's date? November 18th.
17th.
November 17th. Okay, start the recording.
All right, you want me to mute the lines or keep it open?
Leave the lines open. It's okay. Things are pretty quiet.
This conference is being recorded.
Here we go. We are starting with a cough. Okay? We have our lines open. We have a wild card night tonight. It's November 17th, 2014. Wynn in Arizona, Terry in Arizona, Eyes in Regalia, and we were having a little talk just before we started recording, and just thought I'd share with you, I'm not going to go repeat it, but I'm kind of, the reason I'm doing a wild card is because I'm kind of on the road, and I didn't feel like totally together tonight. Actually, I feel together, but I'm afraid my energy is kind of distracted, and I like to give my total energy when I'm on the call. Now, sometimes when I approach the call, I think I'm not going to be able to do it, and here I am on it, and I feel like I'm on it. Because, you know what? We have made ourselves a family. It feels like we're a family. And it's not about all this esoteric knowledge. It's not about Jesus. It's not about the Elohim. We are creating family just by showing up and participating in the energies. We just don't get the benefits of a physical family, unfortunately. It would be nice if we did, and hopefully it will come to that. But it's like, what's nice about a physical family? Well, somebody's there for you. It's nice to have somebody there, somebody that can cook you dinner, somebody that can help you if you're not feeling well. It's nice to have that. And it's hard to have that. And there's a situation where I kind of went out and am doing something right now. I am helping somebody that's not close enough to where we are. It was in a difficult situation. And so I decided to do a wild card tonight. All our lines are open. And I had some things I wanted to talk about, to ask other people. Because some of you come to all our calls, come to our Sunday call. And I always think our Sunday call is the best. It's not, I mean, the calls are different. The calls are all different. And, you know, if you ask a question on a Wednesday and they answer your question and you get that they're really paying attention to you and they really do see you, that's an extraordinary experience. And I've got many emails from people that have had that experience. And you know, the Elohim is not a, they don't really want to be worshipped, okay? It's kind of like they're friends in high places. And when you start to feel them, that they're real and they can project into this realm, it's an extraordinary experience. And I think it's the Sunday call where we feel what it's like to feel their energy projecting into our space. Now, you know, I say we feel this, and I can say that we've been doing these calls for a while, and those of you that were on the calls 5, 6 years ago, 4 years ago, you know, we were doing calls then, just small groups of people. I always used to say, this is an experiment. This is an experiment. I don't know how this works, which I didn't. And I didn't want to set myself up as some exalted person talking to the Elohim, and I had experienced feeling their energy, particularly in some live workshops we did, and they said they can do it on a conference call, but I didn't know how that would work. And when we started feeling it, when I started feeling it, I said, I think I'm feeling this energy. I wonder if other people are feeling it. And then I would get emails. And I thought Sunday was, you know, there's a build-up. Because the way it seems to work is the more we become a family, so to speak, spiritual family, the more we actually become that, the more we feel part of each other, the stronger their energy seems to get. And I'm just curious, because I don't open this up like this. I say, what if I ask and says, well, I didn't feel nothing, you know? So I thought I'd ask you guys. I'm like, hi, are you going to be with me this whole call?
Yes, I will.
Okay, because I'm out in front of the console now. So if we leave the lines open, just feel free to mute anybody. And I just wanted to see if anyone wants to share their experience of feeling the energies on the line. Because I get emails from people that feel it. But I never, you know, some of you think that I assume that I must know you're feeling it. And I intuitively think you're feeling it. But I thought I'd get your experience and to share what it feels like to you. And it might be a little different to everybody, but I thought this Sunday, when I said, put your hands out and feel the energy.
I could feel
even
it.
Even now. I could feel it right now. Who is that? Is that John?
Yes.
John, I like you. You're first in line breaking the ice. Appreciate that. You know what? People are scared to talk oftentimes. Please don't be scared to talk. It's okay. Even if you didn't feel anything, sometimes people have been on the call for a year and they get it because we're all working with patterns that that keep us contracted. But, John, what do you experience when you're on the call?
Yeah, what's that?
On Sunday, I can feel the energy right on my palms, on my hands.
John, say that again.
Sorry, I muted the wrong line. I think I muted John. John, are you back or not?
Yeah, I said on Sunday I could feel the energy right in the palms of my hands.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anything in your body?
Just a positive feeling, but today it's even a little more, slightly more positive, I think. Even this call, I'm noticing the difference to one call and the next. It varies, you know, the energy from one call to the next conference call. This is definitely more positive energy that I'm feeling than even in Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know what? We're still riding on the energy from Sunday, and I'm just continuing it. It's not like I'm starting over with a new topic, you know. But, guys, I know you must feel energy because you wouldn't be coming in all the time. What was your experience on the Sunday call? Can you put it in words?
You know, to be honest, I'm not that. It does not really. I don't feel it as much as others do, I think. But I just, in general, a great feeling being on the call and just being part of it. So,
there we go. I put you on the spot. But good. I'm glad you're saying that. Who else wants to share any kind of experience they've had?
I felt like we came together as one yesterday.
Is that Donna?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I still feel it. I've already put my hands up when we started talking and listening, and I'm already feeling that energy again.
Yeah. Great. You know,
I can literally feel it entering my hand right now.
Uh-huh.
Literally, right now.
I've got my hands up facing out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to watch these holy rollers on TV. And I watched all the people put their hands up, and I said, what a bunch of nuts. You ever watch that, you know?
Yeah, my grandmother was one.
Your grandmother was one. But you know
I've seen that.
I suspect that they're coming, they're tuning into that energy. They don't have as refined an explanation and an intimate connection with the source of that energy. But anyone else want to share?
Yes,
three
I do. This is Carrie in Dallas.
Okay, go ahead, Carrie.
And a lot of times I experience their presence, their energy, like a flickering sensation, like a strobe light that's kind of peripheral vision kind of strobe light, along with the energy. Holding up the hands, though, does get a hold of it. That enhances it. It's almost like I didn't know it until I put my hands up. But I've even started into prayer with my Christian daughter and started flickering again, like they showed up for that.
Mm-hmm. You come from a Christian background, yes?
Yes, I do come from it, but it was many years ago that since I stopped calling myself a Christian. Just more like spiritual is what I would describe myself.
I don't know if you tracked all our calls, but we have an amazing thing here on our calls connecting to at least from my take, from thousands of questions and conversations and research on the internet, that Jesus was connected to the Ra group. And did you find out? Have you heard enough of our calls to hear that?
Not before being on your conference call, but it does make sense. It makes sense.
No one else on the planet has put that together, okay? Even Terry Friedman, who I'm pretty sure was Matthew, is still integrating that as an idea. And interestingly enough, Carla Ruckert, who is really connecting to the energies of our call, you know, who channeled the Ra group. And the Ra group never, ever has said through Carla that they were connected to Jesus. And it's like with Carla. You got to mute somebody talking there. Thank you. Hi, are you there?
Yes, I am. I just need to be careful not to mute the wrong line.
Okay. All right. Okay. Terry in Dallas, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So, you know, it's like the only indication that I ever had, the first indication. Can you see who's talking there, Carla?
I got it, Lynn.
Got it, okay. You know, the first clue, and remember, I don't believe research it. I may ask questions, and I keep putting pieces together. But the first clue was in a channeling from David Wilcock. And David said he was channeling the Ra group. And, of course, Carla is the queen of the Ra group. I mean, she is, you know, did an earth-shaking series of conversations, actually, between herself and Don Elkins, who was her channeling partner, and the Ra group was giving all this information about how they interfaced
with our realm, and including moving souls from this planet that exploded in our solar system, Maldek, became the asteroids, and they moved those souls to continue their evolution on Earth. And I said to myself, I remember reading that, and I said, man, whoever is able to do that on the other side, whoever can move souls from one place to another, is one powerful energy. And then in David Wilcock, in one session, they kind of slipped out. We came to you in Christianity, but we don't speak in those terms much anymore because of the way religion screwed it up. And I read that and I said, all right, they came to us in Christianity. Well, that means they had to be really connected to Jesus. But again, that was a, you'll never, very rarely hear me quote a channeling and say, this is true because Carla Ruckert said it, or this is true because Terry said it. I spend a lot of time incubating these ideas and researching them, saying, could this be true? Could this be true? And finally, I come to my conclusions because they won't want to admit it. They don't want to admit that's true. And if you understand why they wouldn't want to admit it, it's because it's so controversial. It hits, at the core of so many people's belief systems that it would be worse than better if they just said it outright, okay? And, people would think, what am I supposed to do? Give up my power now and pray to Ra and whatever? And so they don't say it. And they don't say things about religions in general because they don't want to. People are using religion, and many people are using religion and making a connection. And so religion has an aspect of it which is positive. It's just that it's got also an aspect in many cases which is negative because it asks people to believe things without having a personal experience. Although some people do have a personal experience, they do make a connection. But then people are asked to believe whatever the dogma is kind of blindly, and so they actually start separating themselves from each other. That's probably the worst aspect. If a religion is really a true religion, it will not cause people to separate. It will say it doesn't matter whether you're this religion or that religion or even an atheist. It doesn't matter because I'm going to treat you like you're part of all that is, part of God, part of the divine, and you don't feel separated. But oftentimes people feel separated. They want to know they're on the right path. They want to know they're going to go to heaven, so to speak. And so they have come to the conclusion that if they follow their religion, they're going to go to heaven. And that may or may not be true for many of those people. But it's not like there's one path to higher realms. There's many. And we got all this noise on there. But in any case, anyone else want to share their experience?
Sure, I will.
Who is that?
That's Carola in Canada.
Hi, Carola. Yeah, thank you.
Hi. When I was a kid, about 12, I had a series of nightmares where this entity was, a shape-shifting entity, was trying to take me over. And we didn't go to church or anything like that. Our parents said, you guys figure it out for yourselves. And that. So anyways, I wound up saying, help me, Jesus, or something when this thing was trying to kill me. And it jumped out the window and left. And so the next day, these church ladies showed up and said, does anybody here want to go to church? And I said I would. So they would come pick me up from the farmhouse, take me there. I went to church. I got baptized. Yeah, yeah. And when that happened, I had this energy come over me. Very nice uplifting up the spine. Oh, sorry.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Yes.
When you talk about seeing a dark entity coming in around you, now a lot of people don't have that experience. They don't see things. Was it normal for you to be sensitive to entities that were coming into this realm, or was that an unusual experience?
Well, it was a nightmare. I did have nightmares when I was a kid, and sometimes they used to fall out of bed, and sometimes they used to sleepwalk a little bit. But anyways, it was a dream where sometimes it was a beautiful Asian-looking girl who tried to make friends with me, and I wouldn't trust her, and then she'd change into a large panther-like cat, like really big, and go for my throat. And usually I would struggle and wake up. But anyway, so finally this one night, I was struggling and it felt like it might kill me. And then all of a sudden they said, help me, Jesus. And it jumped off my throat and out the window. We're on the second floor. And I woke up and I'm like, oh. And I never did have that dream again. So I went to church, the Baptist church and whatnot. When I got baptized, this energy came over me when I was under the water, and it went up my spine and out my head. Now, the energy that I feel when I feel on the calls is very much like that, but way more powerful. It comes up from my butt and goes right up my shoulders, almost like getting a shiver up your spine, but a little different. And so it's very good energy. And yesterday when I wasn't on the call, but at the time of the call, at different times I could feel the energy. But I was busy shopping. I took my partner shopping.
It's like part of your spirit's on the call, even if you're not there, and you feel the energy of it.
Yeah, and sometimes when you're giving an interview, at that time, even if I normally won't know that you're given an interview, but I'll feel the energy, and then later you'll say, oh, I was interviewed and such, and I'll go, oh, at that time I felt the energy. It's like holding the space between Earth and the universe.
Right. Wow. And, you know, I think that's very real, because as more people hold space, which is growing, it's like it strengthens the work. It strengthens me. I can speak with more authority, and people get it. It's really fascinating to watch, because I wouldn't normally think that, understand that, but I'm only observing my own process, and I can feel the love of people out there. I can feel it just in my space. And thank you for sharing so much. Terry, how about you? You can feel that, yeah?
Who, me?
Terry Brown. Terry Brown.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
All right.
Did you hear what I said?
No.
Were you spacing out? Were you spacing out?
I was, yes.
Well, how dare you? Okay. what I was saying was, Carola, right? Carola.
Yeah,
in
Carola.
Canada was saying how part of her is tuned into the energy of the work. And when I do an interview or I do something, she she can feel a shift in herself, even when it's not listening to it, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I feel a lot of people out there that are doing that, that it makes me do better. It makes, I can feel the connection, the anchoring. And needless to say, what we're doing is really unusual. And it's still an experiment because it's in motion. It's still, I'm still learning. I'm still changing. I'm still growing. But if you go back and listen to our calls, which are up there from 2009, and actually you can go back further than that, but they're not up. But if you listen to those calls, you'll hear really quite a big difference in how I sound. Because I was still grasping, how do I do this? How do I do this? People are going to think I'm nuts if I say this. And I'm trying to understand how it works, the flow of it. And years ago, I don't know, some of you may have read Carlos Castaneda. Probably not, but years ago, 30, how many of you read Carlos Castaneda?
I have.
I did.
Yeah, I read them all.
All nine points.
Yeah, if you read Carlos Castaneda, he tells the story of how he was a anthropologist at the University of California, and he was doing research on Yaqui Indians in Mexico. And he was in Mexico, and he got under the tutelage of a shaman, a Yaqui Indian medicine man. And he wrote about four books about all these amazing experiences that he was going through. And what was so interesting is that in his first book, he was writing it very intellectually as an anthropologist. And as he got more into the flow of the shamanic side of things, he started, his whole writing changed. It's like he became a different person. And I could feel him changing. Did you guys notice that, who read those books?
Yes.
I did.
And yeah. And it's kind of like, it's a little like, I now I can identify with that. Not that I have a shaman that I'm under tutelage of, but that I'm feeling how the way I sounded 6 years ago, and even more 8 years ago, 9 years ago, we probably have records of all our calls. I don't like to put the really older ones. I didn't think I was that together when I was doing them, but there are interesting things there. But there's this flow which we're all part of, and as we flow, I'm shifting. Sometimes people say, oh, Wynn, you're sounding so much better, or you're doing this, or you're sounding blah, 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 blah. But the truth is, we are sounding better, and I'm just the focal point of that expression. And because I'm not doing better, but I guess on the worldly sense, I'm doing better. I look better. I'm more confident. I'm more focused. I say less. Terry says, wait a minute, less. You know, it's like when Terry was first started channeling, I thought I could never do what we're doing now, ever, because she was so halting in the way she would express. And she's gotten so good. And she gets better. She becomes a clear focus for it all. But Terry, I was turning it over to you. The main topic is people that feel the energies on the line, because I feel like the energy is growing and it's shifting and it's getting stronger. And everybody's getting stronger that's in the energy and feeling it. Now, some of you may not be feeling it. So some of you may be hearing the words. And, you know, Everyone receives things at their own level. So some people receive it on an emotional level. Some people receive it as goosebumps. Some people tell me they have goosebumps. And some people feel, like Carola was saying, how she felt an energy going all the way through her body. And that's what I feel when we do the calls. I feel that energy through my body and feeling, and it's hard to describe it to someone that hasn't felt it, but it's definitely there. It's not my imagination. It's a real deal of something. And I mean, when we've done live talks, and I have to say, there's something about a live talk that makes it a little easier to feel the energy, because we're in the room and we exude energies from our physical body. And as we exude those energies, it's easier for other people to feel the energies, at least it used to be. But now, the calls, I can't imagine even a live talk. If somebody's new, a live talk would probably be good because they feel the energy in the room and it's powerful. But the calls are just as powerful now. And we're just over a telephone line. But, Terry, go ahead. I wanted you to comment on your experience.
Well, I feel a more cohesive energy in the group. And I can actually feel like the energy, and it's hard to describe what energy feels like. It doesn't carry a lot of information on it, like thought-wise, but it's very uplifting. It is invigorating. And the energy gets so high on Sunday calls that every time that we finish in a crescendo of energy, my phone shuts itself off. For most every week it does that at about the same point. It doesn't have a lot of like thought information, but it's like power, a feeling of like an electric current that can power something if it wanted to. It doesn't mean that I have power, but it's like there's a lot of power in what we're doing, and a lot of power when the sources are on the line. Usually on the Sunday call, I do a channeling just before the end. And the energy is really high sometimes when I'm channeling.
Mm-hmm.
It brings the whole group energy higher. Because they're adding their own source energy to the call.
Has anybody noticed that after the call, that if you're around people after the call, that they treat you differently, like they respond to you differently, like you're more open, and they're in the space of that openness? Has anyone noticed that?
I have.
Is that Carola?
No, it's Donna.
Donna. Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, I have. I can walk by people and you can see them just go, wow. I've had to say, wow, there's something different about you. And it says, oh, yeah, there is.
Right, right. Yeah. Anyone else have something they'd like to share about this? Going once, going twice. Jim,
Are you on the line?
Jim?
He's probably busy on Kettle of Fish.
I'd like to say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
And the more people you have on, the more people...
Is that Michael? Is that Michael?
Reading. Michael Adler, yes, San Diego.
Okay.
And the more people that are on the line, especially on a Sunday call, the more people are grounding this energy into the planet. And so it becomes very much more effective. So everyone kind of, their space changes, their state of being changes a little bit. And, you know, it lasts for however long it lasts. But the point is that because we're on the line, we've answered the call, so to speak, to help ground this energy into the planet. And as it moves through us into the planet, we're also transformed.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I really had to say.
Yeah, that's my experience as well. It feels like we've hit a plateau, a critical mass, where people are holding the energy. And I feel like next time I'm on George Norrie, I'll be talking about this. And I'm almost scared. Probably. The thing about being on George Norrie is that oftentimes when I call her and tell her, I got really great things to talk about. And she'll talk to me for a while. And then if she agrees, she'll put me on, okay? And so it's a little scary because I'm kind of in control of it. It's like they like me there. And probably not that many people have that kind of thing where they just call and it's like if she responds, if his producer responds to what I'm saying, and I have so much I want to share. It's like we've been built this energy with George, and George likes me, and his producer likes me. And but he doesn't know all, you know, it's kind of like it's a growing consciousness every time I go on. It's just like our calls are a growing consciousness. So I'm hoping that I'm correct, and in the next couple of weeks I'm going to get very centered, very grounded. It's like, I'll tell you that when I'm on that show and I'm talking about this stuff, I know our sources are there, and they are. I get all the time people saying, I felt the energy on the show. And, I mean, it's been a learning experience from the first time I was on the show. Because talking about this to 6 million people and having to learn how to talk about it in such a way that it doesn't sound like a religion, it doesn't sound like anyone has to give up their power, where things which are so illogical and out of the potential of this realm, and yet I'm talking about them and people are believing it, a number of people, and I don't get that many attacks, you know? I don't get, surprisingly, you know, the scary thing is that you go on and talk about this stuff, but then suddenly you get a bunch of people thinking you're demonic or or a reptilian or God knows what, you know? And not that many people say that, or, you know, one-on-one. Usually, you know, if I go, you know, Google myself, I don't find too much negative up there on me. And so it's building the confidence that I can do this and talk about it, because for a long time I felt like it was very fragile. And maybe if I got really, really attacked and had people on the line that were
I'm coming in to be hecklers, and it would be, it would break it. It would like be squashing a tiny little, how would you say it, seedling. And it's growing, and it's getting stronger, and it makes me more bold to go out and talk about it, okay? And but in any case, it's 7:57, and we pulled through. And I really thank all of you who shared your experiences.
6:54.
6:54?
Yeah, you got a few minutes.
Oh, yeah, 6:54. I got one more minute. Okay. I'm looking at my clock in my car. It says 7:57, and, of course, I'm on Arizona time. I forgot. With 6:54. So we have time if anyone else wants to share anything. Anyone feel goosebumps? Anyone feel like calmer after the calls? Maybe they don't feel light energy, but they feel some shift in their attitude or the way they feel inside themselves. Anyone have that experience?
This is Don, and I've been on for a couple of years. I don't feel any, like, I feel like goosebump kind of energy sometimes and stuff, but nothing spectacular, but I do feel like I'm slowly becoming like a better person, so that's pretty much my response. So I think it's affecting me positively.
That's a good thing to be, a better person. Who is that now?
It's Terry saying he's transforming.
Yeah.
Slow process.
In a good way.
You know what? This is like a really unusual thing, and we all come to the table with our shadows and with our fears and with our traumas. And when you're not having this overwhelming experience that we're talking about, it's like it's kind of, I have a feeling that this energy is chipping away at all those lower parts of our blockages, slowly but surely, because I have had emails from people that have said, I've been listening to your call for a year and a half, and I didn't know what you're talking about, and then suddenly I got it. They felt it, you know? And the Monday and Wednesday calls, we talk about all the things that people are going through on a human level that are keeping them contracted. And then the Sunday call, we go into, can you feel the energy? Can we bring that energy in?
Then we need to wrap it up.
I say just consider it your own experiment. You know, and if you're not feeling something, consider it an experiment. And keep if you're getting anything out of the calls, keep coming. And I thank you all for sharing tonight. And we'll see you Wednesday with your questions. All right? We're getting less questions. That's a good sign, okay? We're ready for George Norrie. So, I
hey,
was told at night. Yeah.
Do you remember that Dr. Rosenblatt mentioned that she actually knew, I don't know what she did with, but Carlos Castaneda?
Yeah.
She said she actually knew him. Maybe if you could get her to talk about that sometime, that would be interesting.
Well, apparently he came to dinner at her house when he was in the middle of doing all his shamanic stuff. But I don't know if that's a good thing that I want to bring up tremendously, because, you know, the thing is that she's not really tuned into our work completely yet. And it's like, at this point now, I look back at the Carlos Castaneda thing and say that's a lower level of stuff. And, you know, they were doing drugs, they were doing peyote, and at the time I was reading them, so was I. It resonated for that time, and it was definitely a higher consciousness, but I don't know if I, you know, there's a lot of things that are interesting. There are a lot of things that are interesting to talk about. And there's a lot of talk shows, they talk about UFOs. You listen to George Norrie, and it's a never-ending thing, but I like to stay on focus of these soul groups and bringing their energy in. I don't think, rather than going off on a sidetrack, and the reason I had her on is because so many people are having health issues. We're probably off of BBS right now, right, guys? Are we off?
We're still there.
We're still there. Well, let's say good night. Thank you, Don, for not cutting us off. We'll see you all Wednesday, those of you that show up. And keep your energies up, stay positive, and blessings to everybody.
And blessings to you.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
I love you, everybody.
All right.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Thanks,
thank you, Lynn,
Terry.
Thanks very much.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Love to you all. Have a good night.
Have you considered doing an interview with Johnny Wells? Win?